first travel of Brother Angel coming out from Marietta to raise support. So if you are going to take him on as one of your missionaries, this will be very memorable and historical in his life. So please don't fail him. All right. Tonight, I'd like to request everybody to stand, and we are going to read our text that is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to read verse 7 through verse 10. And I would like to request everybody to follow it with your eyes while I'm reading our very special text tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7 through verse 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. May God bless the reading of His Word. Let us pray. Father, we would like to thank you for the encouragement you have given us tonight through the songs that we have heard and that we have sung while ago. Thank you for the testimony of Brother Angelo. Lord, tonight we would like to thank you for this very special moment that we can read, study, and ponder upon thy word. May you speak to your servant that he may be able to speak to your people tonight. Hide him behind your cross that you alone can be seen, be heard, and be glorified tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you may be seated. A lot of my supporters are wondering, how do I look after my chemotherapy for 6 months? I don't know if you have read my newsletter telling you that I had been diagnosed to have a colon cancer last year. And after my surgery, the doctor said that your cancer is stage 2A, and I have undergone a lot of tests, and they wanted to know if the cancer cells have metastasized my body. So I have undergone CT scan, ultrasounds, and all the blood tests, and also I have undergone the bone scanning just to know if the cancer cells have scattered all throughout my body. And by the grace of God, after many, many tests, my oncologist said that the cancer was only localized on the place where it grows. So I praise God that after my chemotherapy, he told me that I'm already cleared and I'm back here in America by the grace of God. Thank you for all your prayers. I always tell people, every time they ask me on phone, Brother Amar, how do you look after your chemotherapy? I said, I promise, I am more handsome than before. I praise God for His sustaining grace. Tonight, because of this experience, the Lord led in my heart to make this sermon entitled, Thanking God for the thorns. So this message was made from the bottom of my heart after the Lord gave me the most painful thorn in my life. You know, it is so easy to thank God for the pleasant experiences. It is so easy to thank God for the blessings, for wealth, beautiful houses, expensive cars, promotions, and other good things in life. It's easy to thank God for these things. But I tell you, it is very, very hard and difficult to thank God for the thorns. It is so difficult to thank God for troubles, for problems. I don't know if how many of you have recorded your prayers. If one of you have recorded your prayers, if you are going to rewind it, you are going to discover that most of your prayers are just asking or thanking God for pleasant things. I don't know if in that prayer you can hear that you are asking God for some thorns. I don't know if how many of us will kneel before God and ask God, Lord, please give me some thorns. Give me some troubles today. No. But I tell you, brethren, whether you ask God or not, whether you are going to pray for that thing or not, one day, God will allow some thorns in your life. In Paul's life, if you are going to study about his life, we are going to discover that he was a very faithful missionary, a very faithful servant of God, active doing the work of God. But one day, the Lord allowed in him a very painful thorn. Bible scholars cannot give us the specific description what the thorn was. One Bible scholar said, maybe this thorn refers to his eyesight problem, his vision. And one Bible scholar said, maybe this refers about his bone weakness, maybe an arthritis. Some Bible scholars claim that this thorn refers to his enemies or his persecutors being a servant of God. We do not know what was his specific thorn. You know what? All of us have thorns of our own. Maybe your thorn is your rebellious child. Or maybe your wicked neighbor. Or maybe your boss. Or maybe your physical ailment, your physical weaknesses. I have my thorn now, my cancer in the colon. Thorns may come in various ways. We have variegated thorns. When I preach this in my missionary travel in Nebraska, during the introduction about this preaching, I have seen a woman at the back, sitting at the back. She was crying from the very start of the message, even during the time when I declared about the theme, thanking God for the thorns. She started already sobbing. Until I finished the sermon, she was crying. And after the service, went closer to me. She was pulling her husband forward and meet me. And she was crying when she approached me and she said, Pastor Amar, I would like you to meet my one and only Thorn, my husband. During the time, I didn't know how to react. It was so awkward for me to react. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to suggest. I wanted to laugh, you know? It was so awkward when she introduced to me and told me that I'd like to introduce my one and only Thorn, my husband. But you know what? The Lord guided me on how to react. I went to her closer, and I hugged her and tapped her shoulder and said, Ma'am, whatever it is, God understands. God understands. Tonight, I'm going to give you some of the common thorns that God may allow in our lives. And out of these thorns, we are going to study also the reasons why God must allow them in our experiences. Let us take the word thorn as our outline. T-H-O-R-N. And let us put S. Okay. But anyway, T stands for the thorn of testings. We do not like testings. We would like to get blessings, but not testings. Blessings, but not troubles. Paul does not like testings too. But God gave him one. So he suffered the pain. You know what? Sometimes when God allows some testings, we complain to God. Lord, why? Why me? When the doctor said, Brother Amar, you have a cancer in the colon. I was so shocked. My children were shocked. My wife was so shocked. I went to my room. I covered myself with a big blanket. And I said to God, Lord, why? Why me? Why not give this to a backslidden Christian? Why not give this to a wicked man? Why me being your missionary? Why me, Lord? And later on, the Lord said, don't ask me why. Just ask me what. What is God's purpose? Why he allows some trials, some thorns, thorn of testings in our lives? Open your Bible in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. We will know the reason why God must allow some thorn of testing. Chapter 5, 1 Peter 5, 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Notice the word perfect. The word perfect from its original meaning does not imply sinlessness like Christ. However, it implies two things. First, the word perfect here implies tuning up and taming up. Tuning is applied to a musical instrument. What will happen if this piano is out of tune? This piano could no longer give us a beautiful music. This piano must need a tuning so that the piano can get the right tune and that the piano can give us a beautiful music, pleasant to hear. What will happen if our lives are not in tune with God? What will happen if our lives is not in tune in God's will? this light must be very dirty. This light must be very, very ugly. And an ugly light is a light that God cannot use. Your life will not produce beautiful music, pleasant in God's ears, or pleasant in men's ears, if your life is not in tune with God. The second implication is taming. The word tame or taming is used for wild animals. You know? If the animal is wild, that animal cannot be used by a farmer in farming. So that animal must first of all be tamed. If our lives are wild, God cannot use us in this church. If our lives are wild, God cannot use us to be a very good witness. God must tame us before using us for His ministry. And out of this thorn of testing, God is going to refine our lives. God is going to fix, straighten our lives, and prepare us for His great task. One time, when I invited, you know, the man to tune up the piano, I was so intrigued because he brought with him different kinds of hammers, from the smallest hammer to the biggest hammer. I said, I invited you to fix my piano, not to destroy it. Why are you bringing some hammers with you? And there I discovered that he's got to hammer some of the keys. He's got to beat some of the keys to make it in tune to the right pitch. God must sometimes hammer or beat us through the thorn of testing to correct our lives that are not in tune with God. Letter H from the word thorn stands for the thorn of heartaches. Do you like heartaches? No! Paul was so hurt when one day he prayed before God. He prayed not only once, but thrice. Lord, please let this thorn be out of my life. He supposed that he can serve the Lord better without the thorn. Lord, without this thorn, I can do better. Please, yeah. Let this thorn be out of my life. I want to be active. I want to be used fully in your ministry. So please, Lord, let this thorn be out of my life. But the Lord rejected his prayer. And the Lord just said, my grace is sufficient for thee. When his prayers were rejected, Paul was so hurt. Maybe he accused God to be unfair. I remember David accusing God to be unfair. He said to God, Lord, how long will my enemies triumph over me? Lord, how long? And there he is, Paul, complaining to God. Lord, please, the thorn of heartaches was not to destroy Paul. It was, however, to make him holy and humble. Maybe God said to him, well, Paul, do you want to be more effective? Do you want to be more, you know, active? I'm giving you this thorn to make you holy, to make you humble, because it is only when you keep yourself holy and humble that I can use you effectively.
Yes. Yes.
God cannot use a proud pianist.
Right.
God will not use a proud pastor,
right.
A proud missionary, a proud member. He must make you and me holy and humble, because that's the only way he can use us for his glory and honor. You know, Paul, in his life, he had a lot of things to be proud about.
He was an eloquent speaker, a very intelligent personality, a lot of things to be proud about. And God realized that because of his eloquence, because of his intelligence, he can be tempted to be proud. And God must put some weaknesses for him to be humble and to be holy and to be more effective in the ministry. So if God will allow some heartaches in your life, that is not to destroy you. It is, however, to make you holy and humble before the sight of God. Letter O from the word thorn stands for the thorn of obstacles. We don't like obstacles. We don't like to be hindered. We have a lot of plans, dreams, desires in our lives. But sometimes God allows some obstacles, and we hate obstacles. We hate hindrances. But I tell you, those obstacles is not really to obstruct you. It is not really to hinder you. It is, however, to make you more operative and effective in the ministry. When I enrolled myself in the School of Driving in the Philippines, one day, my instructor told me, "Brother Amar, Mr. Amar, come here. This is your turn to drive." I was so nervous. You know, in the Philippines, not a lot of people have cars. Not a lot of people can drive. But everybody would like to drive. So I wanted to really drive, so I enrolled myself in that school of driving. And in the first day of my assignment to drive, my instructor told me to start. And then he said, "Go." And then when I already drove around 100 meters, you know, he told me to return to the starting line. And he said, "Well, you can drive already. Okay, wait." You know what he did? He put some obstacles on my way. And he said, "Mr. Amar, you've got to drive without hitting the obstacles. You know, in the Philippines, we have a lot of obstacles in our way. Dogs may cross, ducks, chickens, cats. People just cross anytime, anywhere. So we've got to be trained on how to drive crossing, you know, driving through the obstacles." And he said, "Don't touch any obstacles that I put on your way." So I was so nervous, but I tried my best not to hit them. And then when I go through in the first round, he said, "Come back." And when I was in the starting line again, he added and added more obstacles. And he said, "Don't touch any of them." And after passing through, finally he said, "Brother Mark, now you can drive in the town. You can drive now in the city. You can drive in Manila. But be careful to drive in America." Right? So obstacles is not to obstruct us. It is, however, to make us or prepare us to be more operative in our Christian life. Letter R, from the word thorn, letter R stands for the thorn of rejection. How do you like to be rejected? How would you feel when you go to church one day in this church and somebody is going to block your way and will tell you, "I'm so sorry, Pastor Scriver told me to block you not to enter in this church anymore." How would you feel? That would be very, very bad experience. Okay? When I was a small boy, I attended a vacation Bible school in our church. And our teacher in the first day told us that if we are going to attend a perfect attendance for 12 days, our certificate will have a golden or a gold seal. So I tried my best not to be upset. And to make the story shorter, I made it. I had no absent. During our graduation, you know, our teachers distributed the certificates already, and I was so excited. Imagine, you know, the six-year-old boy waiting for the first certificate, you know. I was so excited. Every time names are called, I'm already, you know, preparing myself to go on stage. And finally, certificates are already vanishing because they were being distributed to a lot of children already. And finally, there was only one certificate on the basket. And I said to myself, that certificate is mine. And I stood already to where I was sitting. I stood and preparing my smile, waiting for the clappings of the audience. But when the name of that certificate was called, the name was not mine. I said, what happened? I saw young kids who only attended 2 days, and they got their certificates, but me, I had a perfect attendance, and I had no certificate. You know what? I was so upset, so that I lie down on the floor of the church, and I cried loud. I went wild. I felt so rejected. Why? And then all the teachers, you know, went close to me, and they asked, why are you crying? And they want to appease me. They gave me some candies and some money just to stop crying, because I already disturbed the whole program. And my sister told the teachers, you know what, Mom? Because, you know, he perfected the attendance, but you did not give him a certificate. And he felt so rejected. Oh, is that so? Oh, I'm so sorry, Ben. I'm so sorry, Ben. But I don't want to hear their sorry. So I cried the more. I felt so rejected. According to some Bible scholars and some psychologists, the word rejection is the saddest word in English language. But you know what? Even the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, experienced the worst form, the worst kind of rejection when he came down in this world. Yep. When he was in heaven, he was sitting on the right hand of God, the Father. But when he went down in this world, he was just laid on a manger.
Yes.
He came to his own, but his own received him not. In the book of Isaiah, he was known to be the man of sorrows. In that cross, at Calvary, he shouted, Father, why have you forsaken me? He did it. He experienced it for you and me to be accepted in the kingdom of God. He allowed himself to be rejected for you and me to be accepted in the kingdom of God. I would like to give you another illustration on the purpose of the thorn of rejection. One day, I was traveling from my province to another province in the Philippines, and I grabbed a magazine, the Reader's Digest magazine. When I opened, you know, the pages, I came across on the story of the mother eagle. Yes. And I read that before the mother eagle would lay eggs, first of all, she's got to fly around the community and find some twigs and branches with thorns and thistles. When she found them, she's got to gather them and bring them to a very high tree or a very high place and make these, you know, twigs and branches with thorns and thistles, she will make them as the foundation of her nest. After the foundations made of branches and twigs with thorns and thistles are formed, she is going to fly around the community again and gather some soft materials. Bring them to that nest and make these soft materials as the covering part of the nest. And there, she is going to begin laying eggs. And this is what is amazing about this mother eagle. Upon the very day she hatches the eaglets, upon that very day, the mother eagle is going to little by little remove the soft materials from the nest. Every day, she's got to remove the soft materials every day, until the day that all the soft materials were already taken from the nest. Yep. And you know what? The eaglets were complaining, "Mom, why did you remove those soft materials? We need them. They comfort us. Why did you remove those soft materials?" And because of the absence of that soft materials, the thorns and the thistles are going to penetrate on the flesh and on the skin of the eaglets. And because of the penetration of the thorns, you know, the eaglets are going to struggle. They feel the pain. So they struggle. They stretch their wings. They stretch their legs. Struggling, struggling. Crying, "Mom, why? Unknown to them, out of that struggling, out of that struggle, they are going to gain strength so that they can fly a little bit. After a lot of struggling, and when they already gain a little strength to fly, this is the worst thing the mother eagle is going to do. The mother eagle is going to approach the nest and pick the eaglets one by one. All right? Let's name one eaglet as Angelo. Angel. She is going to pick Angel from the nest and fly Angel up on the sky and grab Angel. And Angel is going to shout, "Mom, why did you drop me? Are you killing me, Mom? Please, save my life! Save my life!" And the mother eagle would fly down and pass Angel,
yes,
and bring him back to the nest.
Yes.
And then she's going to do that to every eaglet, every day, until the final day was the final initiation. And the mother eagle is approaching the nest again, and Angelo was already crying, "Mom, I know what is in your mind. You're going to pick me up again and fly me up and drop me? No way, Mom, please, don't do that." But the mother eagle would insist. She's going to pick Angelo up, the highest, you know, that she could be, and drop Angelo in the air. And Angelo was crying, "Mom, please save my life." And he cried the more when he noticed that the mother eagle is flying away. And he said, "What? Mom, why are you flying away? Come back! Save my life! Save my life!" Until Angelo discovers that he can already fly alone without the help of the mother. Oh, sometimes we feel that the Lord is dropping us. We feel that the Lord is destroying us. We feel that the Lord, you know, is so arrogant to us. But out of that strugglings, out of the struggles, he will make us responsible flyers. So the thorn of rejection will not really reject us. It is well, however, to make us responsible. Yes. Do you feel rejected? Take it as from the Lord. Claim the Lord's strength, and out of the thorn of rejection, the Lord will make you more responsible. Letter N, and this is the ending of this sermon. Letter N stands for the thorn of nothingness. Ah, how would you feel when you are bankrupt? How would you feel that there is no more money in your bank? When there is no more food in the refrigerator? When your friends are already gone? When your loved ones will even neglect and reject you? How would you feel when no one cares? Nothingness. Nothingness. We don't like to be in want. But sometimes God allows that thorn of nothingness for us to learn a very special experience.
Yes.
I tell you, the thorn of nothingness will make you nearer or closer to God. Sometimes when everything is in us, when we have everything, when we are in abundance, we forget God. I remember when the Mount Pinatubo, that is a well-known volcano that erupted, that destroyed a lot of lands, destroyed companies, businesses. I tell you, when that volcano erupted, the whole place around was darkened. And people claimed that it was the end of the world, so that a lot of wicked people went to the church. They don't consider what kind of church was that, only that they can go to church because they claimed that it was the end of the world, that they needed to go back to God. Almost everybody went to the church, knelt before God, asking forgiveness for all the sins that they have made before Him. Oh, that trouble made him closer to God. The thorn of nothingness will make us nearer or closer. When I was in my second year of college, I finished my Bachelor of Theology for 6 years. In my second year, that was the most memorable part of my experience. When the president of the school, called me in his office. And in his office, he told me, "Brother Mar, I am so sorry to tell you that you are one of the top 10. And I said, "What? I'm not smart. Why should I be in the top 10? But when he completed his statement, he said, "You are one of the top 10 of the students who have a big, big bill to pay, a big debt to pay. You were not able to pay for your 6 months tuition fees and your board and lodging. I'm so sorry to tell you, if you cannot pay at least 50% of the total amount, I will send you home. I will disqualify you of going through this school." I was so sad for that news. I left the office and I went to my room and I knelt before God. "Lord, you called me in the ministry. I don't want to become a pastor, but you made me realize that you're calling me." And I enrolled myself in this Bible school, believing that you are going to provide my needs. But here I am now. I am going to be sent home. If you can give me some money to pay at least 50% of my total debts, please give me some money. On that Saturday morning, there was one student who is going home in our island. And I said, "This is my opportunity to write my mom." So I wrote my mom, "Mom, please give me some money. Send me some money. Because if not, I am going to be sent home this coming Monday." Monday afternoon came. That student, returned from our island going to our Bible school. And I heard her voice calling my name, "Ben, a package for you from your mom." Wow, I was so excited. So I went down from my dormitory and met that woman and I received the package. I went to the room where I asked God about the needs. When I opened the package, I realized the package was wrapped into three wrappers. When I opened the first wrapper, there was no money. Then I opened the second wrapper, there was no money. Finally, I said to myself, I need to open the last wrapper. And when I opened the last wrapper, there was not even a single cent. And I said, why? Why did my mom send this package without anything inside? You know what? So I tore the wrappers. While tearing the wrapper, I spotted that at the last wrapper, there was a message from my mom, a very short message. And I read the message. It says, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. And I was so angry the more. I said, I already memorized this verse. Now, where is the promise? And I said to myself, you know, whispering in myself, I said, Mom, I asked from you money. I don't need the verse today. I need the money. I don't need the verse.
Amen.
I don't need the verse.
Amen.
I just need the money. Oh, I was so angry to my mom, and I was so angry to my God. And I said to God, Lord, you are so unfair. I study very faithfully. I saw a lot of students who are not faithful in their studies, and you have supplied their needs. But me, I'm studying. I'm trying my best, but you're not supplying. So I began to pack my things, but I had a very indifferent attitude to my God and to my mom. I was so angry to my God and to my mom. So I packed my things. And then, as if I could not surrender, as if I was not willing to go home, so I got to lie down. After a few minutes, I got to pack again. And then I go back to my room and lie down again. While lying down, I heard a knock on the door. Ben, the treasurer in the business office would like to, you know, meet you. You've got to go there at once. I was crying. I said, oh, tell her that I will not be going there because I know she is going to advise me to go home because I was not able to pay for my debts. Oh, no, Ben, I don't know what was her reason, but you've got to go there. So what I did was I went to the washroom and I washed my face because I was so shy to face the students that I'm crying. So I went to that business office, and when I approached the window, the treasurer gave me the yellow card. And that yellow card was a card to permit me to take my final examination. And I refused to take it. Mom, I cannot take it because, you know, I was not able to pay even just 50% of my debts. And the treasurer said, just get this then. No, Mom, please, I'm sorry. When I was about to leave, she said, Ben, please come in. Get inside my office. So I went inside the office, and she showed to me the logbook of the business office. And she said, Brother Amar, please read this. So I read it. It says, Benjamin Amar. At the end of my name, there was a highlighter, you know, thing. Benjamin Amar, fully paid.
Amen.
Wow.
So I cried, and I asked her, Mom, who paid my bills? And she told me, the person who paid your bills does not want you to recognize her or him. But however, this person told me that if Ben is going to ask who paid, I will just answer them, Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
I left the card because I felt I was not worthy to get it. I returned to that place where I prayed and blamed God.
And I knelt before God and I said to him, Lord, forgive me for not believing your word. Forgive me for not believing Philippians 4:19.
Amen.
From that time on, that thorn of nothingness made me nearer and closer to God. From that time on, I never and never doubted God's power to provide my
Amen.
Needs. Oh, brethren, are there some thorns in your life? All you have to do is to yield and watch what will be God's purpose, why he allows you to experience those. To end this sermon, Brother Angelo is going to sing again. And while he was singing, I'm going to make some paintings for you. Okay, we are going to paint from here. And then first of all, before he starts, I'm going to introduce to you the materials of our paintings. Okay? We are not going to use pencils or watercolor or whatever. We are going to use this very special, I call this very special because not a lot of artists are using this. First of all, we are going to use some broken crayons. You know, you don't like broken crayons. You throw them away. But now, we are going to see the effects of the broken crayons. And we are going to use this candle. First of all, we are going to light this. And this piece of metal cut from a tuna sardines can. Okay? Tuna fish sardines can. If you happen to see this along the way, you are not going to mind it or pick it up because it's small and dirty. You are going to pick it or pick it up and put it into the trash can. You know what? It reminds our lives. We are so small and dirty in the sight of God. But what happens when we allow God, the Lord Jesus, to cleanse us through his power, powerful blood, after we were cleansed and when we surrendered, yielded our lives to him, God used us to be his servants. After the Lord Jesus cleansed the life of Lazarus Calvary, the Lord Jesus made him a preacher. This thing, after it is being cleansed and yield itself on the mighty hand of the artist, this thing can do a very special thing for us. Given. Pag hindi pa ako tapos, sige mo pa. Okay, go.
It's not home where men sell their souls and the day's power. see me through. I'll not be deceived by earth's make-believe, and I close my ears to her siren song. By praising his name, and I'm not ashamed, 'cause I don't belong. I don't belong, and I'm going someday home to my own native land. I don't belong, and it seems like I hear the sound of welcome home band. I don't belong, I'm a foreigner here, you singing soldier song. I've always known this place ain't home, I don't belong.
Okay, after this thing has yielded itself to the mighty hand of the artists, you know, when I put it there, maybe when this thing has a mouth, this thing is going to shout, please tap it, it hurts. But I would whisper, please submit, yield. And after this thing yielded itself, this thing have painted to us this beautiful picture.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And also, painted to us in 7 minutes time, painted to us this picture. What am I understand? This picture that says, he cared for you.
Yes.
Because this thing has suffered a lot of fire. This thing yielded itself on the hand of the artist. If you are going to yield your life, submit your life to God. Sometimes he will allow you some painful experiences, but if you are going to yield, maybe only you will realize that out of yielding, you can paint beautiful picture in your life's experiences.
Yeah.
This thing also is painted with beauty. It's painted by this little thing after it yielded itself. I'm so sorry to tell you, I need to cut this to illustrate to you God's purpose of some points in our lives. One preacher said that our life is like a puzzle, like a jigsaw puzzle. What is a puzzle? It is one whole picture divided into small pieces. Let us pretend that this is Pastor Skyler's puzzle in life, and the Lord is the one fixing it for him every day. One day the Lord picked one piece for Pastor Skyler's puzzle in life. And he picks a piece with petals, and this represents Pastor Skyler's joyful moments, pleasant experiences. Petals, attractive and brilliant petals, represent our happy lives, happy moments, joyful moments. And then one day, the Lord picked another piece for him, and this is full of leaves. Leaves represent answered prayers, hope, promises.
Yes.
And Pastor Skyler enjoyed it more because of hopes and promises of God. And one day, the Lord was very, very sad. And the Lord said, oh, Brother Skyler, I hate to fix this piece in your life. But however, I need to fix this, because not unless I fix this to you, I will never complete your life's puzzle. And the Lord Jesus fixed it for him, and this piece is full of thorns. And Pastor Skyler cried, very sad. However, the Lord said, my son, if I'm not going to fix it there, your life's plan, your life's picture will not be completed. And then Pastor started to realize that a rose needs also a thorn.
Yes.
And that we should not only be thankful,
yes,
for the roses, we should be thankful also for the thorns.
Amen.
Father, thank you so much for making us
the thorns are purposely given to us not to impair us, but however it is to make us or to improve us. Thorns will not make us comfortless. It will make us comforters. Help us to accept this fact in our hearts. In Jesus' name.